This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
Will Brinson, who joins us on the Adam Gold Show, Pick Six podcast moderator, CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer. I wanted to get to the Atlanta Falcons. And here's my dilemma. A, I love Michael Penix. I think he's going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL. B, I don't really like Kirk Cousins, never have, but I recognize that he is certainly a good regular season quarterback. And I like the idea of what Atlanta did more than I liked when they did it. But man, when you're passing up great defensive players and that's what your top need is, that just seemed awfully strange to me. How did it sit with Will Brinson?
Yeah, I mean, you can make the case both ways, I think, Adam, because if you want to make the case that the Falcons should have taken a defensive player, you know, it's like you just signed Kirk Cousins to a $180 million deal. $100 million of that is fully guaranteed.
Right.
He's going to be there for 2 years minimum. You know, you're trying to win now with the quarterback that you have there. And Michael Penix, eighth overall, extremely rich cost for, you know, anybody. Much less, you know, I mean, just an eighth overall pick. Like, it's a really high pick. And it's a guy, too, I think, where, you know, conventional wisdom and sort of the thought process we have for where guys were going to be drafted didn't have Michael Penix. You know, it was outside the box, right? Penix at eight is like, whoa,
yeah,
by itself in a vacuum, I think, you know, going into this draft. Just like Bo Nix at 12 for the Broncos, who need a quarterback, is like, whoa, okay. Even J.J. McCarthy, to me, at 11, you know, for a team like the Vikings that needs, or 10, excuse me, a team like the Vikings that needs a quarterback. So it's easy to make all those cases. I think you can make it the other way, too, though, where – and the Falcons have been doing a pretty good job pulling the PR out for this.
Right.
It's like, all right, you know, like Cousins is a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury. If he were to get hurt again, re-injure the Achilles, you know, you have a backup option in Michael Penix, who's, you know, quote-unquote college veteran, right, who's been around
yeah.
so long, he's attempted 1,600 passes. The other case, too, is the, you know, like, Alex Smith on the Chiefs. They draft Patrick Mahomes in the top 10 pick. They didn't need to. They were winning a lot of games with Alex Smith. Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, Jordan Love. You know, it's like using these picks from these guys in ways that were, you know, it was like unconventional. And at the time, like, Jordan Love's the worst pick ever. And now it's like, oh, Jordan Love, pretty good pick.
Yeah.
So, like, you can make that case. It's weird, though, because Cousins just signed with Atlanta. And it's not like he's been with the franchise for 5 years or whatever. But I can kind of come around the idea of the Penix thing mostly through the lens that we like to operate with, which is find your franchise quarterback no matter the cost. Like, it doesn't matter what it costs you as long as you find the guy. And if Penix is the guy, you know, Cousins is probably there 2 years now, unless he plays really well. By the way, Rivers and Breeze is another good example of this, too, where they, you know, like in San Diego at the time, where they drafted Rivers with a top 10 pick because they weren't 100% convinced that Breeze, you know, could be the guy. Again, different situations, but that's sort of the logic, right? It's like, if you get yourself a franchise quarterback at number eight overall, it doesn't matter that you have Kirk Cousins there. Worst case scenario, he's going to play. Cousins plays great for 2 years and Penix sits.
Well, you're 100% right. You know, it's funny. It also gives you not bargain basement, but I mean, rookie, you know, the rookie salary, backup quarterback money. So you're not spending X amount of millions of dollars on a backup quarterback. I like the move because I like Penix, right? Could Atlanta have traded back? As it turns out, maybe not, right? They certainly couldn't have traded back beyond 12 because the Raiders, all the rumors were that they loved Penix. But they could have traded back and maybe made that whole thing look better. But I'm not arguing. They've got skill position guys. I think Cousins will be good for them. But I also appreciate the drama that it all caused.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the best part about it. The Panthers have, you know, ended up having a first round pick because they acquired one. But, you know, we like think about it like that. We open it, like every time I come on here, we open up talking about the Panthers because, you know, freaking North Carolina, right? But
right.
It's like this Penix Falcons thing was such a big deal. I mean, it really, if not for, I think you look at this two different ways. One, it's like, man, the Broncos and Bo Nix are like, thank you, Atlanta, for no one scrutinizing the fact that we took Bo Nix at 13.
Right.
12 or whatever. Like, no, it was 12, sorry. No one's talking about that because they're too busy talking about the Penix thing, right? I mean, like, Bo Nix at 12, you know, Sean Payton bragging that he, like, tricked Minnesota to trading up one spot. It's like, what the hell is going on here? And then, you know, it comes out, like, Albert Breer's column yesterday, and it's like, and then they looked, they asked, and then Sean Payton asked Bo Nix what's in his backpack. He's like, tape for my ankle. And it's like, but it wasn't so much about what was in his backpack, but what wasn't in his backpack. All football stuff. It's like, what do you mean? He had like a juicy fruit there? What do we think exactly was going to be in Bo Nix's backpack at a football workout? You know, oddly enough, Sean Payton is the guy who's walking around the owners' meetings one year with a guy in contracts.
What is happening to Will Brinson here?
I'm sorry.
Yes, I walked
away from my phone. I had my AirPod in.
It's
he got really excited.
All of a sudden, Will was like it was possessed.
I was stomping up and down the hallway, like yelling about Sean Payton. Sean Payton one time at the owners' meeting had a contract in his briefcase, and he kept telling everybody about it. All the reporters, he's like, everybody's like, so are you worried about, you know, your job security? Have going 7-9 three straight years, 2017, I think. It's like going 7-9 three straight years. He's like, I have a contract in my briefcase right now. He's like, you may pull it out. You will see it. Like, no, nobody wants to see it. Like, what are you going to analyze this contract?
Yes, I think we should. All right, let me get to really quick back to the Panthers. You and I have talked about this offline. To me, you never want to draft for need, but man, it sort of looked like need and value matched, kind of mirrored up when they traded back to 46. There were both cornerbacks, or actually all four of them, right, were there, or even at 39, maybe it was. They were
at 39 and traded to 52. And got a second round pick from the Rams, which is a really good trade.
Tremendous trade.
They didn't have a second round pick next year. You know, the Rams are probably going to be pretty good. I mean, they did have a good draft and, you know, had a good season last year, but certainly, you know, Matthew Stafford can get hurt and they have a down year. But then they moved back up to, I think I even tweeted like good move overall at the time. Like, you know, you only drop seven spots and you get a second round pick. But actually, if you do the math of what they gave up to move back up and grab a running, and to grab a running back of all things.
Right.
Jonathan Brooks, best running back in the class.
Adam Gold here with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Are most of your clients hands-on, or they just give you their money and let it work for them?
About 90% give the money, and then we meet every year and go through status reports, sure. Have a financial pit stop, making sure everything's fine. It is like a puzzle, Adam, but for the next 10 of you, we'll solve your own retirement puzzle at no cost or obligation.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
That's all well and good. You know, they use this draft to it was blatantly like, all right, we only got so many resources to like put stuff around Bryce, and we got to do it ASAP. And they did that, and you know, credit to them. You know, you hope that Brooks comes in, he's a bell cow. You know, you hope that Xavier Leggett is a a number one out of the box. It's tough ask, but you know, you never know. And I understand what they did. I think they would have been better off sitting back at 52, get as many picks as you can. Like, you can't. This isn't an overnight fixer, right? I mean, like, this is a 2-year deal at minimum, and so just grab as many picks as you can. That's why I hate trading up from 33 to 32. Well, it's like arguably the worst trade you can possibly make in terms of anything. Like it's arguably the worst trade you can make in the draft.
Well, I mean,
one spot, you lose all the leverage of the overnight possibilities of trading out of 33.
Right.
There were clearly teams who wanted to come up to 33. And you could have just said, all right, we're like, it's the Bills are on the clock. They're at 30, or because the Bills traded back to the Chiefs, they're at 32. we're at 33. We're going to either get Xavier Legette or Keon Coleman. And we're not going to let you play chicken with us and give up draft picks when we're already like short the most expensive from a draft capital perspective pick in the entire class.
All right. Here's the thing. They clearly wanted Xavier Legette over Keon Coleman. Like the argument to move up is the cost certainty. And you and I have already talked about this, is the cost certainty of having the fifth year option. Smart organizations will sign that if they determine that he is the guy, that after year three, they'll sign the contract extension. So they'll incorporate year four and year five into that extension. So it lowers the cap. So there is an economic benefit to doing what they did. But I agree with you on the whole in that trading up is never a good thing. And they did it twice. Trading up for a running back is also never a good thing. And they did that because even though Jonathan Brooks is the best back in this class by most people's estimation, what are the odds that there won't be like three other really good running backs out of this class that were drafted in round four, five, six? Because it happens all the time. And the last thing on the list of things that they needed, running back was like six. Not that they didn't need one. They need so many things, but cornerback, wide receiver, cornerback, wide receiver again, offensive line, tight end, defensive tackle. These were all more glaring needs, and they left good players on the board. That was my ultimate problem with what they did. But if Brooks is the guy, then I totally get it. Also, I didn't get taking a lesser linebacker than Peyton Wilson 20 spots before Peyton Wilson.
If you're gonna step in, Dave Tepper, if you're going to step in and force feed a draft pick on your front office, do it with the guy who will sell like 10,000 jerseys to Wolfpack fans who are just like rabid right now.
Right.
Like a basket. Like you're fresh off a Final Four run and, you know, like a really good close to the season for the football team.
Right.
Man, if you draft Peyton Wilson, you will sell, like, he's probably only going to play one, you're going to get one contract out of him.
Yeah.
And you'll sell 10,000 jerseys the day of. Like, I know people, like, ACW who are like, I'm ordering a Steelers Peyton Wilson jersey.
Right now.
State fans are like rooting for the Steelers now, even though Russell Wilson's on the Steelers. I mean, I know you shouldn't draft for PR, but Peyton Wilson's a really good player, and the combination of need, like, I guess you could argue, like, some like level of need, the public relations aspect of it, like make the Panthers popular again, right?
Wait a second.
MPPA, yeah, they're gonna get an MPPA, big red hat. Big teal hat.
So here's the, because you mentioned you're only going to get one contract out of him. I talked about this yesterday. I mean, isn't that describing 75% of NFL players? You're only going to get one contract out of him. Few players get the second contract with that team. So few. I don't know.
If you're giving a running back a second contract, you're probably doing something wrong in the law. Like, over the long haul, I mean, Christian McCaffrey may be like the one exception to that rule, and the Panthers gave him a contract, and, you know, the issue was they run him into the ground with Ron Rivera in 2019 and ultimately traded him, and it looks so stupid right now. Most running backs, I mean, look at the guys who just hit, and it's interesting how the wide receiver free agency market and the running back free agency market sort of went hand in hand with the draft, how it's like really bad draft class. And then you had Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, you know, all these different guys on the market. I mean, it's because Tony Pollard, like, nobody wants to give a bunch of running backs, a bunch of second contracts. It's just bad business.
It's terrible business. Isn't it interesting how there is a higher value on NFL draft, or is it a higher value on NFL draft picks than there is on the player, as opposed to like every other league? Right?
I mean, it's outrageous. I mean, NFL draft picks, particularly with the way that it was the 2011 CBA where it all changed with the draft slots. It's ridiculous. Like, the costs could, and ironically, you know, I mean, not to get into the weeds on the CBA, but you know, the original idea was all this money is going to these draft picks because they're, you know, it's, you negotiate the deal and it goes up every year and it's bad business for, you know, it's really cutting out the middle class of NFL veterans who, you know, felt like they deserve some of that money and not these rookies who are just coming in unproven, you know, you know, plus like Jamarcus Russell. And the irony is that once that new salary structure got in place, teams are like, nah, we can save a ton of money by using these, you know, it's like a cheaper wage scale.
There's no question about it. Real quick. How long until we're at 18 games in an NFL regular season? CBA says can't happen until after the CBA runs out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I mean, 2030 is when the CBA is up because the last one was 2020. Technically, the CBA said they couldn't go to 17, and the owners and Roger Goodell just did it and told the union to bleep off. I think 18 is a better answer than 17. But only because, and it shouldn't be that hard of a sell, honestly, because once you get to 18, like right now, you still only have one bye week to 17 games, which is just a disaster. When you go to 18, you build in a second bye week, and you also push back the season a week, which means the Super Bowl and President's Day, which means, you know, like at least some, you know, some portion of the country will get, you know, the Super Bowl Sunday will be a literal, like, you know, long weekend where you can, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, everybody limping into work on Monday. So I don't know. I think there are aspects of it that make sense from an 18 game schedule, but yeah, they'll probably, what are we, 2024 now?
Yeah, I mean, none of those, by the way, are good from a player standpoint.
Well, the second bye week is.
Nah. I promise the data over the long haul will show that careers get shorter when we play 18 game seasons.
Yeah, but I'm saying like 17 games single bye versus 18 games double.
Oh, sure.
I think that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that like you're already, once they went to 17, by the way, screw 17 games. It's such a pain in the butt.
16 games single bye is fine. Actually,
right, I'm saying 17 games is like annoying because they're going to go to 17 and then eventually go to 18. So there's going to be this like dumb period of stats where like, it's like 5 years where teams went, you know, like 11-6 or something stupid. And make it even. It drives me nuts.
Also, even would be better.
Every seasonal record is going to be broken by 17-game guys and then broken again by 18-game guys.
18 games is better than 17, but they're both horrible for the players as opposed to just 16 games. And they should have just stuck an extra bye week there to lengthen the season anyway, and everybody would have been fine with it.
I'm not sure if you know how money.
I know I do. I understand. The NFL has done this because it means more money to them, even though it doesn't mean more money really to players, and it shortens their careers.
They're playing a game on Christmas on a Wednesday.
Yep, exactly.
three games or two games on Christmas on a Wednesday. Yep. Like, they don't care.
They don't. You're right. 100%. Will Brinson, you're the best, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. See you, bye.
You got it. Will Brinson, CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer, Pick Six podcast moderator.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.